is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And joining us right now, cornerback for your New England Patriots, Mr. Marcus Jones on a Patriots Monday. And he's brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. Search and claim your unclaimed funds. And by Jeanne d'Arc Credit Union, tackling financial wellness since 1912. Stronger members, stronger communities. Learn more at jdcu.org. Marcus, this is our inaugural visit on our show. We appreciate you coming on with us, buddy.
For sure, and I appreciate you guys as well for having me.
All right, by the way, I just wanted to congratulate you because the nerds who do the stats over at Pro Football Focus just gave you and the rest of your secondary the number one position, the National League Football's best defensive secondary. When you hear that, are you like, hell yeah, or like, oh no, the pressure's on, here we go?
Nah, first off, man, I'm definitely, you know, we're definitely blessed when it comes down to seeing that, you know, people are recognizing us and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, we understand that we have a high standard for each other and our group in general. So we always take pride in the situation, again, turnovers and everything like that. It's a new year. That's based off last year. So we got to make sure that we do what we need to do in order to get the turnovers and make sure that we get the recognition that we deserve as well.
We're going to talk to your partner every other week, I think, in the secondary, Kevin Byard, as well. What's he been like, and how are you guys getting along? Or do the corners and safeties stay separate?
Nah, we meet in the back as DBs and cornerbacks and safeties as well. So, no, he's been a great addition to the group just from the being a vet and everything. He's seen way more football than all of us in the room, you could basically say, and been a part of different schemes and everything. So that's been great. But just being able to pick his brain, understanding the situation of how he looks at things, and also the knowledge that he brings to the DB room just helps out so much.
You know, I've heard about how tight position groups can be, and I'm sure it's probably the same with the secondary. I'm assuming so. Does Christian Gonzalez keep you updated on everything that's going on right now with, you know, with him and his situation? Does he keep you guys up to date on and everything that's happened?
I mean, from our perspective, one thing that we always pride ourselves in is being healthy. So that's the main thing, is making sure that whoever's on the field, we want to make sure that their health is first and everything, and we want to make sure that they take their time when it comes down. You know, every injury or, you know, certain situations are different when it comes down to it, but that's not really our say-so when it comes to that. But like I said, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that he's healthy whenever he comes out to the field and everything like that.
I mean with his contract situation, like, has he kind of told you, like, what the deal is? Because I know that, you know, it's obviously something that I'm sure you guys are rooting him on during this. Does he keep you updated on all of that?
Nah, that ain't got nothing to do with us and everything. That's between him and his agent. We just want to make sure, you know, when it comes down to it, that he's out there. And when it comes down to, you know, like I said, his health and everything like that and everything like that is well taken care of. But we're kind of in the sense of, like, if it doesn't involve us, then we play our part, you know.
At least from afar, Marcus, are you impressed with how he's handled the situation?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, when it comes down to it, we know him as a person and everything. He wants to play ball. He wants to be out there. So we're always happy to have him out there and, you know, always putting the team first.
You know, can I ask you this? Because it was kind of cool when Christian got his, you know, he just got the highest Madden rating at his position. And I know you got a pretty good ranking, too. How important is Madden ratings to players in the NFL? Is it a bigger deal than we think it is?
I think it's a big deal for everyone else. Well, I don't really play Madden that much anymore and everything, but it's cool to be recognized. You know, that's a hard thing to end up accomplishing when it comes down to, you know, him in that position as well. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's great for him. But at the end of the day, we don't really worry too much about that.
You've never seen anyone get legitimately pissed at a low Madden rating, because they certainly do on social media.
Oh, I've seen the situation of people, you know, being upset with the Madden rating, but at the end of the day, the only way that people can control that is, like, you know, making plays, but at the end of the day, it's out of our hands. So we just try to make sure to control what we can control.
Marcus, were you glad to not have to play Saturday in that preseason game? And also, during that first quarter timeout, were you kind of stunned that you saw your coach laying into the guys a little bit, or does he do that often?
Oh, he's always, you know, hands-on when it comes down to teaching us and letting us know the situation and everything, and letting us know what the offense is trying to do and be on the lookout for this and that. I don't really think of it as, like, being excited that I'm not playing. I think of it as like whenever we do get the opportunity to be on the field, we take advantage of any opportunity that we can. I've been a guy when it comes down to playing in the preseason and everything, so I understand the importance of it. And we're just happy to be able to support those guys that's out there on the field because we've seen the hard work and the dedication that they've been putting in the whole training camp. So seeing those guys doing that and being able to do that at that stage and make plays, man, we're just excited to be there to support them.
We're talking to Marcus Jones here on 93.7 WEEI. And so it was just announced that Kayshon Booty has been traded. And what was your relationship like with him? And, you know, what kind of player was he when you had to cover him in practice?
Yeah, first off, man, me and Kayshon, like, we were pretty close whenever it came down to it. He's from Louisiana. I was born in Louisiana, so we always talked about that part. But him as a player, man, he was hard working when it comes down to it. He made a lot of big plays being here and everything like that. And then I've seen him grow over the years as a person and also as a player. That's been great. But, man, he was an unbelievable talent when it comes down to him. And he's been great whenever it came down to being part of this organization. And we wish him all the best and everything. And we know that he's a great player.
How talented is this group of receivers? You have to cover them there most days when you're over at training camp practice.
Oh, yeah, no, man. We have a real talented group when it comes down to it. We love the resiliency of, you know, whenever they are having a bad play or something doesn't go their way, of how they respond with it. You know, that's so important when it comes down to being in the National Football League, so the response aspect of the receiving group. And then also when it comes down to the hard work, there's a lot of guys that's in the receiving group doing extra film when it comes down to it, or extra drills in order to make sure, you know, catching the ball right, you know, different things like that, so.
So Marcus Jones, there was a story that went around a couple of months ago where the coach of the Seattle Seahawks was saying that he got help scheming against the Patriots from somebody that I guess has a conflict of interest. And throughout like some discovery, there was a assumption that it could have been Tom Brady that ended up helping. And I think when we talked to Mike Vrabel, is that right? Ken Vrabel kind of like basically said that he thought it was Tom Brady.
Right, probably. Okay. He said, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of the fact that Tom Brady could have possibly helped the Seattle Seahawks scheme against you guys in the Super Bowl?
Oh, I mean, that doesn't really like, I would say like move me in the situation of that. At the end of the day, like it's all about the plays that got to be made on the field. Teams and everything like that or what they are, but when it comes down to it, the players that have to make the plays that come to life and everything, like I said, that's out of my control and out of our control, so we don't really look too much into that.
Well, talking about you for a second, Marcus, 2 weeks away here from the opener, what part of your game personally do you feel like has taken the biggest jump this summer?
I feel like the knowledge of the game when it comes down to aspect of, you know, the more years that you play, the game slows down even more, the communication aspect. This is my second year being a part of this defensive scheme when it comes down to it too as well. So knowing way more, and then I always pride myself in versatility.
All right, so Marcus Jones, you know, Mike Vrabel has a reputation of being an elite tier ball buster. As a matter of fact, Ted Johnson, who played with Bill Belichick, said that Mike Vrabel was the only person he ever knew that could come in and like rip on Bill Belichick in front of everybody, and Bill just took it because Vrabel was so good at it. Have you seen this gift that he has for ball busting in person? Have you been able to witness Vrabel at his best?
I just see it as constructive criticism. I had a military dad whenever I grew up and everything, so I'm not saying it was crazy strict, but it just comes down to the discipline aspect of knowing the details, knowing the technique and the fundamentals that you need to do, not just as a football player, but also in life and everything like that too as well. So I think of it as constructive criticism, but some people, you know, may think of it as like, you know, the way he talks or he yells and does all this, but I listen more to the message, not the tone.
But this is like legitimately funny, right? Like when he does it, it's like almost like it's in a way that kind of makes you laugh at the same time, but you're getting the message, right?
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. It's all love when it comes down to it as well.
And he's a defensive guy. Can you, like, go to him and say, look, give me a blitz? Like, can you curry a little bit, call your own play a little bit with Mike?
When it comes down to it, like, I'm pretty cool with the plays that they call and everything. We'll always come back and be like, hey, we can look out for this and kind of go from there. But I mean, I'm kind of a guy that, you know, whatever works for the team and was best for the team, that's me. So.
All right. Well, Marcus Jones, thank you for coming on with us. We really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to talking to you all season long. And here's to getting this preseason over with and start playing some real football, right?
For sure. No, appreciate it so much. Thank you.
All right, thanks. That's Marcus Jones on a Patriots Monday, and now on a Tuesday, brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov, and search and claim your unclaimed funds, and by Jean d'Arc Credit Union, tackling financial wellness since 1912. Stronger members, stronger communities. Learn more at jdcu.org, and we'll be right back. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtenlieb, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. We're going to have Chad Tracy on tomorrow at 2:15. Mike Florio on at 4 p.m., and this is actually, this is somewhat breaking news, which is has to do with the Patriots in a way, but it's, to me, it's even bigger than that. So, first game of the season, the big NFL kickoff game, Super Bowl rematch. You got your Patriots, you've got your Seahawks, and it was just announced no less than 30 minutes ago that there is actually going to be a halftime show at that. And the halftime show is the reunion of Soundgarden. Whoa. It's the first show Soundgarden has played since Chris Cornell died.
Who's singing?
As a matter of fact, they've announced it. Now, they did one thing for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction last year, but that's it. But this is under the name Soundgarden. It's you know, all of the surviving members, plus Mike McCready of Pearl Jam, will be playing guitar for the parts that Chris Cornell played. And on vocals will be Taylor Momsen from The Pretty Reckless. Now, if you're asking, if you don't know who The Pretty Reckless is and who is Taylor Momsen, remember the Jim Carrey movie, The Grinch?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Cindy Lou Who?
Yeah.
That's Taylor Momsen.
Wow.
The little girl from The Grinch is going, and by the way, she's an excellent vocalist. Her band just went on tour with AC/DC. But yes, the reunion of Soundgarden. This is the first show that they have played as Soundgarden out and about, which means that they may indeed be reuniting. I'd heard stuff that they're going to release stuff that Chris Cornell had recorded before he died as Soundgarden. But that's kind of badass. On your Patriots' first game of the season, the reunion of Soundgarden.
Flexing their obvious grunge roots up in Seattle. We had that debate Super Bowl week, you know, better musical history, the New England area, Boston or Seattle.
Oh, is that even a debate?
It's not close.
It's tough. Yes.
Not close.
Yes, it's close.
An entire genre of music was born there. Like, I mean, okay, tell me this. Give me the three best New England musical artists. Give me the three best ones.
Okay, Boston,
Aerosmith, James Taylor,
and the Cars.
Okay, Boston, Aerosmith, the Cars, three worthy bands.
All, what do you mean, worthy? I mean, those are all iconic.
Okay.
Hall of Fame bands.
None of them had as big, well, Aerosmith. You could say Aerosmith might be the best of all of these ones I'm going to name, as far as like they're big and how big they were. But Nirvana completely changed the musical landscape. And Alice in Chains, in my opinion, is the best of all of them. And obviously you can go down the road, like Pearl Jam, blah, 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 blah. Aerosmith does skew things a little bit.
Yeah,
but
close.
But you can't even throw the Cars in there with Nirvana. You can't. The Cars
what do you
are a
mean
good
you
band.
Can't throw the Cars were a good band.
Fun fact, the first Boston album came out 50 years ago today.
Ooh. Ah, very nice. And by the way, I will say this, that this was really crazy to learn. Did you know that Nine Inch Nails' Pretty Hate Machine, the first album, was recorded on Newbury Street?
I did not know that.
There used to be. I learned that just recently. There was a music studio that was there. But that's kind of cool. So there you go. For the first game of the season, with your New England Patriots, they better damn well show that on TV. Because you know what? I don't. At that point, I don't care about the analysis. Show me the reunion of Soundgarden. That would be nice. All right. Kayshawn Booty, no longer a member of this team. No longer on here. He ended up getting traded for really next to nothing. A safety that kind of just was like a sixth rounder, hardly played. Mm-hmm. And a pick that is just way down in the bottom of the barrel. Ted, you are like, can you kind of put in perspective like what this team, what it means to get rid of a guy like Kayshawn Booty, who really seemed to be the trapdoor, almost a guy that Drake May had built this nice chemistry with, mm-hmm. who kind of was like just a dude that you could always get the ball to. He just seemed to always know where he was. But there's just so many receivers, and there's only enough ball to go around. Have you had time to process
it
this?
It was, yes. You know, I thought about it a little bit more. You know, how do you explain it so that people understand? I don't know if this makes sense, but I'll give it my best shot. You know, it's kind of like you look at the Celtics. They have an overabundance of sometimes of wing players, okay?
Yep.
But they were deficient in big guys. So you need, you know, if you have – a lot of wings. You know, there's a redundancy there. So, you know what? You trade one to get back a position of need, which is like a center. The Patriots.
Can the Patriots shoot a lot of threes this year? Is that what you're saying?
I should have gone to basketball, you know, metaphor. But the thing is, people go, oh, he's your third best receiver. It's like, okay, maybe he is, but there's what he does really the best is run nine routes, which is streak routes. You know who does it better than him on this team is AJ Brown.
Okay.
And so if you have both of those guys out there, it's kind of like it's a waste. So to have Kayshawn Booty, it just from a schematic standpoint doesn't make as much sense. So their top three receivers in their 11 personnel packages are going to be AJ Brown, Romeo Doubs, and DeMario Douglas. That makes sense. Each one of those guys do different things. They run different routes on the route tree. And so it makes sense that those three guys would be out there on the field together. Having A.J. Brown as well as Kayshawn Booty out there, it just from a schematic standpoint, it doesn't make as much sense because there's a redundancy there. So I hope people, you know, look,
Do you like Tony Siegel better than Kayshawn Booty?
No, stop. You know who I like? Matt, I'm confident in Matt Collins. Is going to be A.J. Brown is your deep threat. No more Kayshawn Booty. So we got that. But who's going to work the short to intermediate? Matt Collins, to me, is a guy that is way better than Kayshawn Booty doing in routes, comebacks, curl routes, dig routes, you know, and those types of routes. And so, to me, it's not going to be as much of a loss as people, I think.
I have a positive and a negative thought about this, Rich. Positive thought is they must be very confident A.J. Brown is healthy. They must have watched him and waited and looked at all the medical. Because remember, we had our guy on Elliot from WIP, and he was like talking about the knee and all the potential danger there. They must feel, because if A.J. Brown goes out, people will want Kayshawn Booty back. The negative thought is they looked at Kyle Williams and said, this guy's cheaper. He's kind of as good as Booty, and he's just cheaper.
Guys. See, I don't think that that's negative. I think that if you have two guys that are essentially the same and it's going to free up money that you can spend somewhere else, I don't have a problem with it. That's what a good GM does. As long as you end up spending that freaking money on guys that matter, like Christian Gonzalez.
Cash budget.
Yeah, oh, God, that pissed me off. That really did. When Elliot Wolf's talking about cash budget, we don't want to hear that. Let's go to John online, too. John, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Rich, first and foremost, that Boston album sold 9 million copies in a calendar year when you had to go buy the album.
Yeah, tell him,
it's
Rich,
a great
tell
album.
Him,
it's a great, great album. There's no question.
It is an iconic album.
Yep.
And every grunge guy put together couldn't have put together an album like that if they all got together in the same room.
John, I will tell you this. You know, as a matter of fact, to your point, I believe Kurt Cobain said that when he wrote Smells Like Teen Spirit, it was a riff on More Than a Feeling, like that guitar riff. It's almost the same riff if you listen to it. So if it wasn't for Boston, maybe there wouldn't have been a Nirvana.
Ted, your former boss drives me nuts because they traded Kayshawn Booty for one reason only, because they saved $2 million on their cash budget. And do they go and take the $2 million and spend it on the quarterback? Nope. No movement. Why? Because suddenly the cash budget matters. All the years they've been telling me how the salary cap matters. Giles said, we can't go all of the salary cap. Fans of New England, we're going to bring you the best possible roster with the best possible quarterback. And if it wasn't for that quarterback, they'd be the worst franchise in the history of sports. They'd be with the Jets and the Browns. I am over it with Kraft and his financial knowledge, but we're all dummies and he's the professor.
Thank you,
John, so, sing it, baby.
Dude, I got a great call from John. I gotta follow this up with I would think as a general manager, like one thing you should never say if you can help it, and I'm Elliot Wolf's not the general manager, but he's pseudo general manager.
Sure.
Is budget. Don't ever
cash
say budget. Don't even say that word. Can we
hear that whole Elliot Wolf clip again, the cash budget clip? Because it is something. I'm telling you, this is like the story of the day in Boston sports, that Elliot Wolf trotted this out.
How much does planning for a new deal for Drake impact how you consider a new deal for Christian now?
You know, it's about a cash budget and things like that. Mm. So we're very aware of the timing of these things, and you know, we're cognizant of having a plan for that and working with Jonathan and Robert. Thankful for their support. That you know, they're open and willing for us to be able to sign these great players.
Hey,
that's the worst thing he could have said.
25th in cash spending.
Don't
cash
say, budget. Don't bring up cash at all. If you're the Pats GM, why would you do that?
I think Elliott's maybe going a little rogue. I think he's kind of, him and Mike are kind of maybe teaming up.
I think Vrabel spanked
RKK.
Him in the back office as soon as he was done with that press conference.
Yeah. I don't know. That's, you know, Elliott's a smart guy. I mean, cash budget.
That's not a smart thing to say.
That wasn't.
No. And you know what? And I just don't want to hear about that.
No fan does. No fan wants to hear that the billionaires have a budget. No.
Exactly. Fan. Exactly. And on top of that, there's so many better ways you could have answered that. Like, you could have answered it. Although the one thing you didn't say, you're right. What it seems to be code red. Hey. Is when they start saying he's under contract.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To me, they didn't say it. But think about this, guys. For 23 years, Robert Kraft thought, you know what? As long as we have the quarterback, we can skimp everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he still thinks that?
Yes! Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Of course. Dude, these guys get off to getting, like, telling all their friends, we want all those Super Bowls, being the lowest cash-spending team in the NFL.
He probably did brag about that quite a bit.
Oh, I bet you all the time.
He pulled Jerry Jones aside. Yeah, you might be in the Hall of Fame.
Right. I got all these trophies spending the least amount of all you guys. I mean, you don't think those guys get off to that?
Boy, Ted, that is, I mean, because you're right. I mean, he might be looking at Drake May the way that he looked at Tom Brady and said, baby, we got our quarterback.
Yep.
We know that he can take us to the promised land, and we don't need to spend in all of these other places.
But they did spend the last 2 years. That's the thing. $100 million on Milt Williams, $60 million on Carlton Davis, $45 million on Harold Landry. This year, they spent on Dobbs $80 million more. $40 million on Draymond Jones. There were some big money deals they've thrown out.
Okay, but why do they rank 25th in cash spending?
I mean.
So there's still a. Dude, there's a big salary. The salary cap's $300 million.
But that's over 10 years. Like, if you did it the last 2 years, where do they rank? Do that math for tomorrow.
This year, I just know they're 25th this year.
Okay, but the last 2 years. Do the combo, because I feel like over the last 2 years, they've caught up a little bit.
Well, I mean, then show it. Then put your money where the mouth is and get Gonzalez signed. Then sign Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to repeat myself 1,000 times. I believe way more that it's not his agent going rogue and that it's the Patriots being cheap because they got the track record. So, come on. I agree with our caller before. He's absolutely right. I don't want to hear any bitching about this, like, you know, cash budgets and crap like that. Get this guy signed. He's a star. And Mike Vrabel knows that this is a better team when Christian Gonzalez is on it. And, damn it, I want to be right that he got signed today. When I sent that text, such a good song, man.
Hey, Rich, this song brought the house down at my Yacht Rock review concert.
Oh, no, this is not Yacht Rock. I'm telling you. Don't tell me that.
Yeah, they played this. I mean, you're in Boston, right? I mean, you got to. Yeah. But this song brought it the house down, man.
You know what? I went and saw Boston years ago when Brad Delp, rest in peace, was still alive. And I remember I went with the pure curiosity just to see if he could hit that note live. Let's step away. Like when he gets like a, and that SOB killed it.
Really?
He just absolutely nailed it. It sounded just like the album, and you can tell when they're singing over a track that they were so good live. And you're right, that first album's fantastic.
Was absolutely. That when Joan Jett opened up for them at the Garden?
No. I didn't see it here. I saw it like years ago. It was like probably around like the late 90s. I saw them, and they killed it. Absolutely killed it. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI, 617-779-7937. I want to take Dave in the car because we were just playing this
real
thing.
Quick before we do that. Can I give you a little Gonzalez update?
Yeah, please. Oh, God.
So Christian Gonzalez, no news in that sense.
Oh,
you're not right. You're wrong.
Okay.
But Gonzalez is speaking. As expected, he's avoiding most of his contract talk and whether he would miss practices, or he says he's not getting into that. He does say, and hopefully you'll have the audio here shortly, there are certain things that go into a contract that my team wants. I'm focused on this day, this practice. We'll see where we go from here. But here's the quote I think that stands out. Mike Cadlick put this on social. My team has made it known what we feel I'm worth. The right people know what I'm worth.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of a cool way to put it.
Yeah. That just says to me.
Like if you're in the know, you know, for your football, you know what he's worth. Kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he's got a number. They got a number.
Not today, Rich. Wrong again.
Wrong.
Damn it. Hey, the day's not over yet. Who knows?
Maybe it's all true. That's true.
Let's go to David in the car right now. David on line three. What's happening, buddy? How you doing?
So how you doing? Good afternoon, guys. So great topic you guys are touching base about how Mr. Kraft or whoever might have said how New England, not Mr. Kraft, but whoever said New England won all those games with less money. Yeah, they did, but they're forgetting one thing. That Mr. Tom Brady, and let's call him Mr. Tom Brady because that's what he deserves, kept negotiating his contract, taking less money to keep certain guys here so they could win. So that's a page that Drake May needs to learn. Christian Gonzalez needs to learn.
Oh, boy.
Anybody comes in. A.J. Brown coming in now needs to learn for the future if he sticks around, if he has a good year.
Mr. Brady, this is what he did.
He took less money over and over and over again until he left because at that point he was fed up. He had given them six championships and got nothing in return. Mr. Drake May went to the Super Bowl. He didn't win it. If he won it, it would be a different
Tiny Tim, David?
Jeez, Jackson.
David.
Jackson.
No, it's funny. No, that's what Tiny Tim did. He always calls some, you know, anybody Mister. He talked to by Mister. No, I love David.
Let's let Ted go. Ted, the floor.
I mean, do you guys know what I'm going to say?
We got a Ted take.
No, I'm
you ready. Don't. You don't know what I'm
saying. Give me it off the top of your Ted.
I just can't believe that David thinks that we won those championships because Tom Brady took less money. That's what. That's what you're saying? Like, that he needs to, Gonzalez needs to, you know, follow the Patriot way in the old days when you take less money so that you can build a team. And even though the team that's forced, you know, asking you to take less money so they can build a team, better team around you, is dead last in cash spending. Dead last. Right? So the money that they save by not paying you, they don't use on anybody else like they tell you they're going to. I just can't believe fans are falling for that.
Oh, that is Robert's dream fan right there, David.
Oh, my God. I mean,
check the number. Are we sure that didn't come from Stacey James?
Wow.
617 texture. Get Bobby's nephew off the air.
That's amazing to me that fans side with billionaire owners more than they do.
Well, not only that. So now, Curran, we're going to have Curran on Thursday or Friday this week. He was on last week, and remember, he stunned us by saying, are we sure Witherspoon's not better? And I think, you know, they're very informed by the team. So now Phil Perry was on Early Edition yesterday. Some of the same stuff starting to come out. So, Jackson, you have this clip? Let me hear this.
Christian Gonzalez is looking at this thinking he's the best corner in football and that he should be paid as the best corner in football across the board, really, when it comes to every single metric. And that happens a lot of times when the guy is the latest to come up in terms of at his position group and he's this caliber player. I'm not sure the Patriots are eager to do that. And I think there's an argument there to be made. Hey, Devin Witherspoon has made three Pro Bowls. You've made one. He won a Super Bowl. He's played 11 more games than you or 9 more games than you over the course of the last 3 years. You know, so can we get you closer to what Witherspoon's range is? And I think that's probably where the impasse is.
See, there it is. Mm. That's how the Patriots feel about it. They think they're making the case Witherspoon's a better player and he should not make a dollar more.
Devin Witherspoon's got like a bunch of good defensive players around him, and right now, Christian Gonzalez has to be the man. He holds that defense together.
You're right.
I take a look at what's on Seattle, the talent that is on the other side of the ball in Seattle. I mean, who has to do more work? Honestly, who has to put more on his shoulders every single game? Christian Gonzalez. This is crazy if that's what they're trying to do. Mm. If they're trying to compare him and him, they're both extremely good. And would Devin Witherspoon be able to be as Christian Gonzalez here? I don't know. But one thing stands out. Christian Gonzalez has to do more with less than Devin Witherspoon.
If the Crafts think that he's not as good as Devin Witherspoon, why did they wait for the Devin Witherspoon deal to come out? And then
they want that to set the market.
And he said, Robert Kraft said, that they're going to make Christian Gonzalez the highest paid corner.
So maybe they're offering him the same deal. Because Elliot Wolf was asked today, do you still want to make, you know, Gonzalez the highest paid corner?
You realize that's not how it works. Like even if you think Devin Witherspoon's a better cornerback, was Christian Gonzalez like the third best or the fourth best? It's like Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown wasn't the best basketball player in the NBA, but he got the highest contract because of the timing of it. It's about timing. It's not about even if he's not better than Devin Witherspoon, he's pretty damn close. So that would warrant a better contract just because he's the next guy in line to get paid.
Ted, unfortunately, there is a mentality that's out there now because they know that Brady took less money, obviously. I mean, but then again, he wanted more. We know why he left. He didn't get that two-year goodbye deal. But the thing is, he took less money, and then there's this whole thing with Jalen Brunson, you know, taking less money, and all of a sudden the Knicks win a championship.
Hey, that's true.
Good luck, Mike Vrabel, because Vrabel's got to sell culture, and hey, this is where you want to come, dude. Guys won't want to come here if this is how they treat their star players. I'm telling you, it runs counter to what Vrabes is trying to build here.
Let's go to Steve in the truck on line two. Steve, love having you call. You got 30 seconds, my man, before we got a break. What's up, buddy?
Well, good enough, gentlemen. You know, Dave always comes on and talks about how much of a businessman he is. Well, Dave, you're a moron. I'm sorry. If you're a businessman and that's how you run your business, you're an idiot because you're as good as the people around you. And to say Brady took less money, he may have made money, you know, taking less on his annual average, but... And they didn't. How come he didn't have great receivers around until he had Randy Moss?
Yeah.
How come he didn't have all that?
I mean, listen, Steve. I think that is a crazy thing to do to ask these athletes to take less money when they're still not spending as much as they should anyway.
That Brunson, you're right about the Brunson deal. That's another bad comp. A lot of owners are going to sink their teeth into that. Look what this guy did.
I think in basketball, that the star player taking less money is the most impact.
It's huge
sport.
Now. They keep talking second apron and better of another team.
Ted, we said this a couple months ago. We said when Drake finally next season sits down and talks about an extension, don't think for a second that the Crafts aren't going to go, you know, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, my other son, he took less money. Why don't you be like the GOAT? We'll be around you. You know that's what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. Would you put it past Robert Kraft to try to at least pull that with Drake May and invoke Tom Brady's name?
Yep. I'd say no. But then he'd say, okay, well then, you know, where do you guys rank cash spending? You know, like if you're not going to spend it on me, then who are you spending it on?
Yeah.
That's what I would come back with.
All right. We got good calls. 617-779-7937. Keep them coming, baby. I love it. Get Christian Gonzalez signed. Enough. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. This is the sound of Soundgarden with Taylor Momsen singing at the, I believe, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. Cool. Soundgarden is reuniting to play the halftime of the Patriots-Seahawks show. That is freaking awesome.
It is cool.
And this is going to be who's going to be singing. And also Mike McCready of Pearl Jam is going to be joining us. Cool, a cool story there.
Yeah, well, Aerosmith's doing halftime of the Steelers home opener here. So.
Oh, that would be nice.
They're not, actually. That would be cool, though. That would be awesome. That'd be cool. That'd be breaking news.
It would be the greatest thing ever. I just wish, man, they're one of the few bands that I never got to see. I've seen a million bands, and I've never gotten to see Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And then I probably never will now. All right. I have to play this. Ted, I don't know if you've seen this yet. Ken just sent this to us. I'm so glad he captured this moment. So Christian Gonzalez was just out on the field at Gillette. He's got a horde of reporters around him. All right. Obviously, we know everything that's going on with the contract stuff. It is like a butting of heads between Christian Gonzalez and his people and the Patriots. And meanwhile, while Christian Gonzalez is starting to speak to the press, in the background on the video, you can go to WEEI.com or the WEEI Facebook page or Instagram and see this. While he's getting ready to talk, all of a sudden in the background, Robert Kraft's chopper starts to land right behind him. So here's how the press conference sounds when Christian Gonzalez starts to speak. Let it roll. He's literally talking.
That sounds fake, but it's actually the video. Wow. Awesome. Wow.
That is so great. Oh, man.
Almost as if, oh no, is he going to speak? Get the chopper, baby. And just, he's like, at one point he's speaking, and you see him just kind of stop and smile like, you've got to be kidding me. Right?
It's like a Naked Gun skit.
It totally is. I mean, I'm playing one more time. This is him literally speaking, and even the reporters are starting to laugh at just how either it's ironic or who knows what it is. But. Just how convenient. Oh,
classic. God.
I mean, he had some. I thought what he, his comments were kind of revealing a little bit. You know, I like. I hate you can always as a player hide behind your agent. And, you know, hey, I don't know, it's my team. Hey, this is what they want. That's when you know. Really, I think in more than any other sport, football players are more involved in their contract negotiations than I think people will realize.
Let's go to Big Al on line three. Big Al, what's happening, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, good, fellas. You know, as a 25-year veteran of the United States Air Force, I want to say that I love helicopters.
Thank you for your service.
I love them. I love the fixed-wing aircraft more, but the helicopters are pretty good, too.
Everyone's Robert Kraft is getting better. I have to say I'm proud of all of our callers. All of the Robert Krafts are getting better, Big Al.
Listen, guys, you know, as the saying goes, two things can be true at the same time, okay? Number one, are the Patriots cheap? 100%. I get it. Number two, and I haven't heard this brought up yet, Ted Johnson, please help me out here. Yes, sir. But if I'm not mistaken, it's very rare, considered kind of bad form, for any ball player in the NFL to hold out or threaten, you know, need new money with 2 years to go on their deal. They usually wait until 1 year to go. That's what Deion Branch did. They couldn't work it out. He got traded to Seattle for a number one pick. Richard Seymour, you know, they worked it out with him. He didn't show up to OTAs and mini camp, and, you know, eventually they traded him to the Raiders. But at first, he re-signed with the Patriots after, you know, it was 1 year to go. Down here, I'm about 2 hours from Jacksonville. Maurice Jones-Drew, I think, was the first player in the NFL to try to hold out with 2 years to go, and that did not go well. The owners just don't like that. And I don't know if it's fair or unfair, Ted, but that seems to be the pattern that I have noticed, unless I've been missing something here lately. But help me out. Have a good day, fellas.
Thank you,
Dan. Thanks, you too, buddy.
So he's played 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's
3 years into a now a 5-year deal because they picked up the extension, the fifth year.
Yep. So most deals are 4 years, right? So essentially, this is the year before, you know, your last year is usually when you negotiate a big deal, right? So being a first rounder, they can put a fifth year on you. So it technically, yes, it's still with 2 years remaining, but the average contract outside of the first round is 4 years for a 4-year deal. So these first rounders, they're like, what? I mean, I got to wait an extra year before everyone else to get, you know, an extension. That doesn't seem fair. So I see Al's point, but you know, technically, it's the way these first rounders look at it is they're 4-year deals, and so they want, if they can, negotiate new extensions going before they go into their fourth year. And another thing I would say is there's a lot of great players that have come from Christian Gonzalez's draft class that have signed extensions. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to point to that as like, well, these other teams believed in their guys. Why don't you believe in me?
All right. I want to play this real quick because after Robert Kraft's helicopter ended up quieting down, you actually did get some good sound bites from Christian Gonzalez. And Jackson, you have one, correct?
Yes, sir. Here we go.
I mean, it's frustrating, but I mean, it's, you know, I'm focused on the season. I'm focused on here now and doing what I got to do. And I'm not here to compete and get better.
Okay, well, hard to hear, but I think, so he said he's frustrated, Rich, but I think the money, the quote is the one him talking about, my team has made it known what I feel I'm worth and the right people know what I'm worth. That plus the cash spending clip from Elliott Wolf will define the day. You know what I mean?
I just, that helicopter, but play that one more time when Christian Gonzalez is just trying to talk and then here comes Robert Kraft's helicopter.
This is a missed trick.
Just screwing up the entire thing. Hey! Look at all those people stuck on Route 1. Jonathan, buy me another lane. Can we fly over Bill's house? I don't want to land. I just want to hover.
207 text. Kraft is just arriving for work at 4:30. What's going on?
That's right. I mean, he's been out all night. All right, let's go to Jake. I'd like to. Jake, what is up, buddy? How you doing?
What's up, guys? Taddy, long time no talk.
What's up, bud?
I want to get to the Niners situation in a second, but first, Taddy, to your favorite subject. Do you know what went wrong with stupid Steve Belichick at Carolina? And if Carolina does beat TCU, does the angelic Jordan Hudson, who's been very well behaved lately, deserve more credit in that situation? So that's number one. And then number two with Jed York. You are worth billions of dollars, and you need some greasy you-know-what for $140. But the Niners, like the Patriots, seem to get into these Christian Gonzalez situations often. Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams. Now, like York, who's worth billions and can't wine and dine a girl, Robert Kraft has had a similar incident. Meanwhile, I don't know, there's 30 other owners who will spend money on Gates and players. What's up with that?
Yeah, the Jed York thing's wild. That is a... it was like a ended up getting caught in a prostitution sting, right? Mm-hmm. The owner of the 49ers.
He pled down to a misdemeanor of some kind, one day in jail, whatnot. But yes.
Oh, all right. Because originally I saw it was a misdemeanor. I'm like, why is anyone reporting on that? And they said, it's prostitutes. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Well, that makes it a little more.
And the reports I'm reading is that he pulled over in a trailer where there's a trailer park. So it's.
He was coming to meet the alleged.
But no, I don't think. I think it's being misled as that's where the prostitute lived.
Oh, I thought that's where it was. That's just where he got pulled over.
That's where he got
nabbed,
I think. Yes.
Okay. All right.
So, we'll back into those details.
But, sure. Dude, the 49ers are kind of, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, we had some stuff with, you know, Kyle Shanahan in the offseason, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, with his
get on that, Tony Farmer.
Yeah. Exactly. Where are you at, Tony?
Yeah, there's a lot of weirdness going on there. And, like, the way that, like, nobody reported it, I guess the 49ers press knew about it, but nobody reported about it for like several weeks, which was definitely strange. Yeah, it's odd.
How weird is this whole situation, though? The helicopter. Next year, when Drake May is giving a press conference, will Robert Kraft be coming in on the helicopter?
Oh, I was doing a great job. You're like the son I never had.
Just see him jiggling up.
Hey. Why didn't we take this thing to Vinatieri's Hall of Fame induction? That drives me crazy. The fact that he said he was stuck on the runway, trying to get to Vinatieri's, right. And here he comes in his own helicopter.
That's a long flight, though, to Canton.
Yes. There's no possible way a billionaire could find alternate transportation when he knew about it months ahead of time. Okay. That video, if you have not seen it, Justin Turpin, you are the best for capturing it. You can go to the WEI Facebook page, their Instagram. It's Christian Gonzalez literally trying to speak about how things are effed up with his contract, and Robert Kraft's helicopter seems to enter the picture. Well, that's him. He's actually speaking at this moment. You can see his mouth moving, but you can't hear him.
It's time to wave the white flag. He is not getting a new deal. It's over. I mean, today is... This is the nail in the coffin. Ted, do you think they're going to get an extension done this year?
I'm worried. I don't think it's going to get done this year. Maybe
he's going to play on the fourth year.
You know what? You guys are just your worry warts. It's going to happen. It's all theater, baby. Just get ready for the season.
Rich Shirtley, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEI, Rich Shirtley, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. By the way, Chad Tracy joins us tomorrow at 2:15. Also, Mike Florio returns to the show at 4 p.m. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. By the way, very controversial take from Tommy DeVito. He is a Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady guy.
But despite that, the Twitch chat very much approved of the Tommy DeVito vibe. They were liking it, like Tommy 2 Bill. Thought it was a good interview, so I kind of agree. I thought he was very likable, came off very, very well.
You know what? This is going to sound crazy because I'm not encouraging this from our callers, but I love it when people are comfortable enough talking with us, they just start swearing, even though they know they're on the radio.
Twice.
There's right. There's something endearing about that, and Tommy Two Chains, Tommy Cutlet, did an excellent job. I liked him a lot.
More shocking was Jackson bleeping it twice effectively, I think. You know, so
thank you. Not all heroes wear capes, but I do anyway.
Good job.
Well done, Jackson. All right. So you have been calling us and you have been leaving messages right there. If you go to the Odyssey app, you can press the microphone button and leaving messages for the show. And we launch them sons of bitches right here with our take grenades. You got the opening there, Jackson?
Incoming!
That's right, and we're doing it all in the Ketchus Law Studios. No fee unless you win. What do you say, Jackson? Let's go ahead and we'll rip through a few of these. Ready? Pull.
Yeah, I'm calling about that whole booty situation.
So, Rich, I'm going to need you to stand up, do a 180, and let me see if those exercises have got that gluteus-looking Maximus.
That's right. You gotta get on your back and put the weight on your stomach and just thrust, thrust, thrust. And hopefully do it when no one's in the gym. That's what keeps the old apples nice and gives me old apple ass.
Apples.
All right. Let's launch the next one, baby.
Well, it's 3:05, and Rich just said to Tommy Two Chains, Mike Vrabel can bust on you. Ew, Rich, ew.
You were feeling so comfortable.
Listen, everyone's obsessed with, like, you know, below the waist. I don't know if I approve of that. My goodness.
What if he's pissed about 2 Chainz? Because he said it stuck. But he can't. I mean, Tommy Cutlets is a legendary nickname that just got ripped away.
I wouldn't like either of those names.
Really?
No. I've never been a jewelry guy anyway. I've got no...
There was like a whole story behind the Cutlets. 2 Chainz is just he wears 2 Chainz. There was nothing very creative about it.
You want to be named after a piece of meat.
Yeah.
You know, the name you want is what Mickey Gasper... No, it was Mickey Gasper. It's what the dump truck Eric Miller just got from Chad Tracy. What was that?
The Godsend. We got to ask Tracy about that tomorrow.
Is there a better nickname than the Godsend?
No.
Except for the dump truck, because we thought of it. He just looks like a dump truck when he gets out there. But he has been, man, you want to talk about somebody, a trade that worked. Holy crap. A 0 ERA in like 9 1/3 innings, I believe, since they got him here. He's been
15
awesome.
Whiffs in 9 1/3. Pretty good.
Woo, not bad. He's part of the lunch pail guys, right?
Yes.
Okay. He's like Sogard, Siegler.
Part of the utility men.
Yes. You had like 18 names
I
for
did.
Him. I just like lunch pail guy.
Thank you.
All right, let's pull.
So during the interview with Tommy Cutlets, Tommy said, I had these 2 Chainz that I wore, and the guy called me Tommy 2 Chainz, and it stuck. Rich Schoedenlieb stopped everything. Oh, stop, 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 stop. You mean you had 2 Chainz that you wore around your neck?
You were shocked.
No, Rich.
You were shocked.
You wore them around his balls, you goober.
Once again, below the waist, everyone's obsessed with balls and butts.
Great take, grenade. I was shocked you followed up on that.
I don't know. Sometimes like your brain turns off for like 4 seconds and you miss something.
I just love the way he calls you a goober.
Well, I mean, listen, goober's a good word. It's a good word. I'll take it. I've been called way worse. And I deserve to be called a goober for that. There's no question. All right, let's go to the next one. Pull!
Boston versus Seattle music. 2 words for you. Billy Squire.
Ooh.
End of debate.
Good,
I don't care about
job.
Those hippie flannel-wearing idiots moping around all over rainy Seattle. Billy Squire blows them all out of the water, baby.
These right. are good takes, by the way.
That's very good takes. Now, unfortunately, they have Jimi Hendrix, they can claim, but I leave him out of this. But if you go with just the top 5 Seattle bands, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, throw in Heart. You can throw in Heart if you want. Versus Aerosmith Boston, The Cars, New Edition, and Jay Giles Band. More albums sold Boston by 25 million albums.
It's not about albums. Listen, that's part of it. That's an impressive back and forth. The New England one is impressive. I'm talking personally, and I think it might because Alice in Chains is there. And you know what? Throw in Temple of the Dog. Like, if you want to, okay, what is the best single album from both of them? Like, I would say from New England, I would say the best album, in my opinion, is Toys in the Attic.
Well, the Boston debut album is untouchable.
Yeah, that might be better than Toys in the Attic by Aerosmith. And that might be sacrilege me saying that, but I would rather listen to Boston's first album. But I would, then to that, I would say Alice in Chains, Dirt, and Temple of the Dog is better than the Boston album.
Mm.
Like, there's no question. I think Alice in Chains, Dirt is one of the greatest albums that's ever been recorded.
Mm.
But that's just my personal opinion. It is definitely a worthy head-to-head battle.
Good debate.
Yes, good debate. Got no problem with that debate
and
at
actually,
all.
Nevermind is probably the most commercially successful album of the bunch, right?
Has Nevermind sold more than Boston? Because Boston's debut was just like, it's a phenomenon. To this day, whenever you see like best-selling albums of all time, Boston's debut is always up there.
I'll check on it.
All right. I bet Boston still has the edge. All right, let's say poop.
Who wears the most bracelets? Greg Hill, Johnny Depp, Lenny Kravitz.
And we're going to add Ted Johnson into that, too.
Yeah, I thought he was talking about Ted. Ted wears the stack on the right wrist.
You know, and he wears the same one as Greg. And you know what? And the thing I've noticed that everybody that has those style of bracelets is very, very successful.
Yep. I didn't. Well, I mean, because you're only looking at successful people that have them.
That's true. I mean, I don't wear them.
So, I mean, does Greg have like the tons
of
braces?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Greg, Ernie Buck, Teddy.
But not the stack like that. Like, Teddy. Teddy's got the
Johnny Depp style. Like,
yeah.
All right. Yeah, no, Ted seem like they're like cloth, or not cloth, like rope, right? That's not like the bangles. Like Johnny Depp, when he walks, it's like he's like, who's the guy from the Marvel Shang-Li and the Eight Rings? It's like he's a giant
Shang-Li.
Yeah, whatever his name is. But he is like they clank when he walks. Clankers. Johnny Depp.
You can't listen to an interview with Keith Richards anymore because his clank, like, it's like he's wearing chains, like, all over the place.
I've never been a jewelry guy, whether it's braids. I don't even wear a watch.
Yeah,
it's
either.
Very strange. It's my eczema, I guess, Tommy. All right, let's go to the... How many do we have? We have one more? Can we do one more? Okay, let's do a fire. Woo, go!
Jonathan, if you can hear me in the front seat of the helicopter... Let's play helicopter bingo, okay? I see Massachusetts. I see...
Is that the end of it?
What happened? Oh, no.
It just got cut.
I see another Massachusetts. Oh.
All right.
I see a lot of red and white ants down there. Wonder what's going on. Let's head home for Din-Din.
It is...
It's my favorite video. Justin Turpin should be. He's like Scorsese.
He is.
Like the way he captured Christian Gonzalez getting ready to speak, and then, like, in the upper left corner of the screen, you see Robert Kraft's helicopter coming in. It's just hijacked the entire thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, listen, baby. Is that Foxborough, beloved? Stop at Cumberland Farms on the way home. I want to
see. Oh, he's a Cumbies guy. I didn't know that, yeah.
I want a Slim Jim or 8.
That video is so great. If you've not seen it, go to weei.com, go to the Facebook page, whatever. And he's just completely hijacked Christian Gonzalez's press conference. That sound we played is literally him trying to talk. All right. We will be back. Not long. We will be right back.
WEEI. Austin's Sports Original. Rich and Ken with Ted on WEEI.
1-0 to Durbin. He squares again. The pitch is way outside to the backstop. Abreu comes home. He scores standing on a wild pitch. The Red Sox tie the game at 2.
Isn't it amazing that even just showing the bunt gets in the pitcher's head of thinking, I don't want him to put this down. So he tries to make an even nastier pitch to miss the bat, and he yanks it to the backstop. Tie ball game.
93.7 WEEI, Rich certainly, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson, this effing team, man. These Red Sox don't ever turn these games off. Listen, whatever ends up happening in the postseason, you're always going to remember this summer and how they went from one of the worst teams to one of the best.
The impossible summer. I'm hoping that nickname sticks. That's a good one.
Is that what you're branding it? Is that a Ken Laird special?
Ties in the impossible dream season, you know. is crazy. How has this happened? How?
I don't know. Well, I mean, you know me. I'm giving Chad Tracy a lot of credit on that. But, I mean, that's the 33rd comeback this season. I think the 16th, you said, since the All-Star break. And and I said this yesterday. When I was reading the lineup card, I was like, whoa, you got Siegler, Sogard, and Mickey Gasper? And I was just like, these guys are, you know, it's one thing if your stars are doing well and then the rest of people just kind of every once in a while show up. That's what makes this team special, if you ask me. That's what makes it feel like they're kind of on this road to something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just seems like something is happening here.
The island of misfit socks. They all keep showing up. And by the way, some good news. Caleb Curtis Meade is getting the cast off. He's going to be in a splint.
Okay.
So he's who knows? Just throw him into the kettle. Never know. He might be available.
Right. I don't know how long you can. After that, you can play. I just think I totally just dismissed it, but. But, man, this team, I'm telling you, when you got guys like Mickey Gasper and W.B. Mason out there just making things happen, he's been unbelievable since he's been back from AAA.
Fleming, by the way, texted me. He said, I can't believe I did the Hey Mickey song, which sounds like Jackson's Hey Hooters song. He's regretting his decision.
I did laugh when I heard it. I did. I was like, when I heard it first, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the highlight of my week so far, for sure.
All right. Well, everybody enjoy your Red Sox as they once again are in Miami.
Toli night.
Yeah. By the way, Toli is for real. Like I saw something on Nesson where he walks out on the field before every start in bare feet. There's a video of him Boom. Walking out bare feet. All right, everybody enjoy it. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Chad Tracy joins us and Mike Florio. Thank you very much for listening to us. We love you. Bye.